Hello and welcome to this Expert HR podcast with me, Laura Merrilees. With just over a month to go before the GDPR comes into force, I'm joined today by Susie Munro, Senior Employment Law Editor, to talk about the resources we have here at Expert HR to support you, whatever stage you've reached in your GDPR preparation. So Susie, there may be some employers who are still at the very early stages of thinking about the GDPR and who don't yet have a plan in place to prepare for compliance. Is it too late?
No, not at all. Ideally, you would already be well into implementing a compliance plan, but I'm sure there are plenty of employers out there who are only just realising the significance of the GDPR. As you say, there's just over a month to go before it comes into force on 25th of May. And although it will take time to put a plan in place, it's better to start now than just to pretend that it's not happening. It won't be the case that anyone who doesn't have all of their procedures and practices GDPR compliant on the 25th of May will immediately be hit with a 20 million euro fine. But it is important to be able to show that you're aware of your duties, you've taken the most important steps, and you're working towards full compliance.
So what are the most important steps?
So if they've not already done so, HR needs to put together a compliance plan. And this will include the important steps of carrying out an audit of HR personal data and creating a data register. That will take time, but it's important to start as soon as possible. It's definitely a case of better late than never. Then there are practical things that people will need to do, like new privacy notices and a procedure for responding to subject access requests. They'll also need to update existing policies and practices to make sure that they're GDPR compliant.
Now, the point of this podcast isn't to explain in detail how an employer would go about those things.
No, we're going to point people in the direction of expert HR resources that will help them with all the necessary steps. And we've got resources that will help employers whatever stage they've got to in their GDPR preparation. So if you're already on top of the basics, we can help with the more tricky questions that might come up as you put your plan into action.
Where should someone start if they're just beginning to think about their GDPR preparation?
In May last year, we held a webinar called Get Ready for the GDPR Guidance for Employers, and you can still watch that and you can download the slides and the transcript. So that's a useful introduction. From a practical point of view, I would start in the how-to tool. We've got a how-to guide, how to start preparing for the GDPR, and that covers the basic principles and the concepts you need to be aware of and the changes that will be most significant for HR.
Briefly, what are those?
So that's things like the shift in the approach to the use of consent as the basis for processing employee data. The GDPR makes clear that employers that currently rely on employees' consent will need to identify an alternative legal basis for processing their data in most cases. So while employees may have signed something, or there may be something in their contract saying that they give their consent for the employer to process their personal data, if they didn't really have a free choice to give that consent, it wouldn't be valid under the GDPR.
Okay, so if they can't use consent, they'll need an alternative legal basis for processing, as you mentioned.
Yeah, so that how-to guide, how to start preparing for the GDPR, sets out the alternative legal basis for processing that an employer could use, and it also covers other changes, including the changes to rules on subject access requests and privacy notices. And it also touches on the first practical steps to take, like carrying out an initial risk assessment and establishing a timeline.
And then there are more detailed practical how-to guides that follow on from that one, aren't there?
Yes, so we've got how to develop and implement a GDPR compliance programme. That one deals with some of the steps you'll need to take, like reviewing contracts with third-party processors, setting up a procedure for responding to a data breach, carrying out risk assessments, and communicating the changes to the workforce. There's also how to conduct an audit of HR personal data for the GDPR. That's a really important part of the preparation. So that involves looking at all your HR data processing activities and recording information about why and how different categories of data are currently processed. And you can then use that to identify where there are gaps where you wouldn't be compliant with the GDPR.
Okay, so although that sounds like a massive job, taking the steps set out in those guides will make things easier in the long run.
Yes, because you'll have a record of your data processing activities, and you can use that to obtain the information you'll need to be able to take the next steps. like providing privacy notices. So that's information like the legal basis for processing and information about retention. And there's an obligation under the GDPR to keep an ongoing record of processing activities. That's the personal data register. And also, you need to be able to demonstrate that you are complying with the principles of the GDPR. So it is something that has to be done, and carrying out an HR personal data audit at the outset will make ongoing compliance easier.
Now, we've got a model HR personal data register that people can use.
Yes, we've published a number of new model policies and documents, including the register of HR-related personal data. Each employer's register will be different, so the model is an example of what it could look like, and it should be adapted, obviously, based on the results of your data audit.
Okay, so what should employers prioritise to get done before the 25th of May?
To some extent, it depends on the nature of your business, and employers should take a risk-based approach. If you're an international business and you transfer employee data, particularly outside the European Economic Area, or if you transfer personal data to third parties to process on your behalf, you'll need to ensure that you're well on the way to being compliant in those respects. But there are things that will apply to all employers that can be prioritised. For example, producing new privacy notices and a new data protection policy, and putting in place a procedure for responding to subject access requests.
So where can people find help with privacy notices? And these are the statements that you have to provide to employees or other data subjects when you gather their personal data.
Yes, we've got two model privacy notices, one for job applicants and one for employees. Again, employers can adapt those to their own circumstances. So when you're drafting a new privacy notice, it will really help if you've already carried out your data audit, because some of the information that you'll have to include in the privacy notice will take a bit of thinking about. In particular, you have to tell employees what the purposes and the legal basis are for processing their data, and you have to tell them for how long it will be retained, or at least how that period is determined.
Now, we've got two webinars that deal with these aspects of GDPR planning in greater detail than the introductory webinar that you mentioned earlier.
Yes, so we've got a webinar called Processing Without Consent, taking a deeper dive into the GDPR. And that one looks at the legal basis for processing. We've also got the webinar on data retention under the GDPR. And again, you can still watch both of these through the audio and video tool. We've also got how-to guides. So there's how to determine the legal grounds for processing employee data under the GDPR. And for example, that looks at when employers might be able to rely on their legitimate interests as the legal basis for processing. And we've got how to manage the retention of employee data under the GDPR. That one goes through the practicalities of deciding on a data retention schedule and how long you should keep different categories of personal data.
Okay, so as well as preparing their privacy notices, employers will need a new or updated data protection policy. Now, we've got a model policy they can use for that, haven't we?
Yes, so you can use the model policy to set out employees' rights in relation to their data and the organisation's approach to data protection, for example.
And the other thing you mentioned that employers could prioritise is putting in place a procedure for responding to data subject access requests.
Yes, hopefully employers will already have a procedure for responding to subject access requests under the Data Protection Act. But there are some changes that the policy will need to accommodate. For example, you will no longer be able to charge a fee for responding to a request, and you'll usually have to respond within a shorter timescale, and you have to provide additional information about the data. So we've got a how-to guide, how to respond to subject access requests from employees under the GDPR, and that explains the changes, and it gives practical guidance on how to respond to a request. And we've got a number of new policies and documents to help with the subject access request process, including model letters for responding to a request and for extending the time for responding.
And there'll be other existing policies and procedures that will also need updating.
Yes, the GDPR will affect lots of different HR processes to varying degrees. We're updating the model policies and documents where necessary, and there's a list of which policies and documents have been updated. You can access that from the right-hand side of the Policies and Documents tool page.
It's also worth drawing people's attention to the FAQs tool, as there are a number of questions there that cover other areas of the GDPR that we've not mentioned today.
Yes, we've got FAQs answering a number of specific questions, some of them raised by participants in our webinars. So, for example, we've got one on balancing employees' right to be forgotten under the GDPR with the need to keep HR records. We've got one on whether employers will be able to gather and analyse information for equality monitoring purposes. We've also got FAQs on the rules if you contract with a third-party processor, how to deal with personal data in emails, transferring data outside the European Economic Area, and dealing with recruitment data specifically. So we've got 25 FAQs and counting, so it's worth checking the FAQs tool if you've got specific questions as you go along.
Well, thanks very much, Susie. And to link through to the resources we've been talking about today, do go to our GDPR trending topic page, which you can find under the topics tab. Well, that brings us to the end of this Expert HR podcast. Thanks very much for listening, and we look forward to you joining us again next time.